Welcome to Embrace the Grain Photography Podcast, a podcast focused on all forms of photography and the people who love to create. If you love cameras, analog or digital, old or new, expensive or economical, we welcome you here with open arms. And hello, guess what? We are back. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Sherry.
How's it going?
Going well. How are you?
Good, good. It's been a hot minute since we've been doing this.
It certainly has been a while. Yeah, glad to be back.
Yeah. The hiatus did me good. And the hiatus was totally on my end. We have one more grandchild and aging parents to deal with. So I've been doing a lot of running around to medical appointments. Nothing fun.
Yeah, I mean, life takes priority for sure.
That's right. So I thought this year things have calmed down a little bit. We could maybe at least think about bringing the podcast back for the winter anyway, and we'll see how it goes. Springtime might get a little nuts again, but that's to be expected on a farm.
Yeah.
So totally. I thought to make it a little easier, we would bring in a few more people.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. So I will say we have Sasha Cloutier. Did I get that right, Sasha?
Cloutier.
I'm very English.
It's all good. It's a very French name.
And we have Larry Effler.
You nailed that one.
Yeah, I can get that one. So, yeah, it'll be awesome. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun together.
Absolutely.
So. I think so, too. Yeah, glad to have you guys aboard.
Yeah.
Oh, very welcome.
So who wants to go first and describe what little blurb they're going to do? We're going to split the show up into pieces, and everybody's going to do something a little bit different. So it won't be as long. We won't have any more two-hour episodes, I promise. So who wants to go first? Larry?
Well, I guess I'm coming here as the gearhead. I have way too many cameras, and I continue to get more. My cameras have come to me by various sundry ways. Few of them were just straight out purchased, but a lot of them came with a pretty cool story attached. So I hope to share that with folks. I shoot digital and film. I shoot cameras that are 100 years old, and I shoot cameras that I got last week. So I hope to be our resident gas man.
You're just what we need.
Yeah. Like, we need more of that around here, eh, Sherry?
We're not going to discuss. I said I was going to sell more, and I ended up with more in my house.
That's why it happens, right, Larry?
Yeah.
My wife stopped believing me when I said I was going to sell cameras. And then once I sold one, she saw me sad. And she's like, so you're not allowed to sell your cameras anymore because you always end up being sad afterwards.
Well, I was cleaning up down in here, getting ready to do the podcast. And I thought, I just been bringing them down here and putting them away. And then I realized I'm running out of space. Some got to go.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm sitting in a hotel room, and there are 7 cameras that I can reach right now.
I'm sitting in my small dungeon, and I bet you there's 100 behind me. Sitting there, oh, some of these got to go.
Yeah, that's maybe too many.
Yeah. So, Sasha, what do you plan on doing here for the show?
Well, we had met in the Frugal Film Project, and I had put out a question, and you were like, oh, that's so great. And I started asking them every week or so. I'm not new to the film community in the sense that I've been shooting for over 20 years, but I had never really joined a group And then I joined the group and I just realized I want to find out a lot about everybody. And I want that experience to grow amongst everyone. So my goal is to bring a question every time to find more about us, to find out more about the listeners, to find out more about the people online, and just continue that going. The optimism has been fantastic when we did it in our project.
Oh, I know. It really brought in more interaction between the members. And it was maybe not about Frugal Film, but just film in general, cameras in general, life in general.
Yeah, lots of questions are not necessarily always about film or gear. Sometimes they were about what brought you here and who influenced you and, you know, what cameras do you treasure? What are things like that? We'll get to them along the way when we ask the questions, but it's to bring more of the people into the picture, so to speak.
So where are you planning to get the answers to these questions?
So I plan on putting it on our Facebook page. So the podcast's Facebook page is where I'm going to put, we'll ask the question here. I'll repeat it online, but I'll also put my answer, and I'm hoping you will as well, so that we get the ball rolling.
You bet. You bet. Yeah, I would really love to have more interaction in the group. It kind of, and I'm glad it never stopped while we had hiatus, but it has definitely slowed down.
No, for sure. And it's just nice to be able to, I guess, hear from people on the other side and see what they're up to.
Exactly. So Larry, what cameras do you have with you tonight?
I have a Canon FTB, a Lomo Instant camera, the Instax camera, and my Fuji X-T3, which I will be using in a semi-professional manner tomorrow morning, and a new Petri, well, new to me, old to the world, Petri rangefinder that I picked up at a antique store on my way up here. So I already have a roll of film in it. I thought it would be a symbolic for me to pick up a camera on the day that we record. So I've got a Petri that looks like it works, and we'll see when the film gets back.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
So we brought back. We never quite quit doing the challenges in the group. So this month it was Lomography Purple, and I know Larry, you've done yours.
Yes, I have. I have never used purple film. It's a shame. I work for a nonprofit, and our colors are purple and orange. So I'll have to be using this every November from now on. I work for an Alzheimer's nonprofit, and November is Alzheimer's Awareness Month. So it was great that purple was the assignment for this time, and the pictures came out great. I always thought of Lomo Purple and all those films as, you know, what's what I'm looking for, you know, like a fad, but man, I really love it, and I'm going to keep shooting it. So thank you, Sherry, for breaking me out of my comfort zone into purple. And some of my purple pictures came out orange. It was like the photography gods knew I was shooting for a purpose.
Yeah, you can get some really interesting looks with that stuff, I guess, especially depending on how you expose it. Yeah, Lomography recommends anywhere from 100 to 400, I think. And yeah, you can get some different shades depending on how you expose it.
Yeah, it's very versatile, given that, like Larry was saying, it almost felt like it was gimmicky at first. But then all of a sudden you play with it and you're like, oh, wow, this actually can do a lot more than I thought it could.
Yeah.
No, that's for sure.
And I guess I shot it at 400. I Sunny 16'd it, so I shot it at 400 to the extent that my eye and skill can keep it there. So some of them probably were overexposed, so maybe those were the orange ones.
Who knows? You know,
yeah, who knows?
Last time I used it, I think I fooled around with the dial and kept moving it to see if it made much difference, and it didn't.
Okay.
So I guess maybe there was a tad less grain, maybe, but
yeah.
I went and dug through my fridge, and I have a roll of the original Lomo Purple. So I got that out now. If I get it done or not, that will be the question. How about you, Sasha?
I haven't started shooting it yet. I've been focusing on a few things on my side, but it's definitely in the plans with the leaves changing and everything in my area. It's just the right time to do it because it'll change everything. I'm just waiting for a weekend that isn't as hectic. I have a little two-year-old that is starting to be more and more a person, not just a little crying bundle. So I think it'll be fun for him as well to go out and play in the fall colors, and then I can grab a few shots from him at that time.
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. I have no leaves. I have had no leaves for a month.
No.
Yeah, that does suck.
Well, down here in Tennessee, we had some great fall leaves, and you had me shooting Lomo Purple instead of my usual Lektar. So
that's my favorite.
You can do Ektar next time, Larry.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to write that down.
That's my favorite stuff for the fall time as well, Larry. Ektar just does wonders for those fall colors.
Oh man, they pop.
They really do, yeah.
We got a lot of yellow down here, and
that's what ours are. Yeah, but it's always in September.
Yeah, that's nice and early.
Yeah, but I'm on the combine. I don't get to take pictures of anything.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's true.
For me, more than the debate of what I'm going to shoot is along the line of, Larry, what camera am I going to use?
Yeah.
It's going to be probably between like Canon 7 rangefinder or probably a Nikon FM2, maybe. One or the other. We'll see.
Can't go wrong with either.
I shot it with my Canon FTB. The camera came to me from, like I said, I work for an Alzheimer's nonprofit. And a fellow who passed away with the disease, his wife wanted me to have his camera. So she gave me his camera in August. And this was my first opportunity to shoot with it. So that's what I shot the Lomo Purple with.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Nice to have that connection.
Yeah, and especially like you said, for it being November and Alzheimer awareness, we got the film, and now you have this camera. It's fantastic.
Everything came together.
Yeah, full circle.
I threw a roll of Kodak Gold into a little point and shoot because it was my grandson's 8th birthday last weekend, and I thought I'm going to take the Instax Mini, my iPhone, and this little point and shoot, and that's all I took, and it fit right into my purse, and I shot just over a pack of the Instax Mini, and I don't have a single one. I gave them all to the kids that attended the party.
Oh, that's nice.
So they have a little something. They thought that was cool, and I only got 19 frames out of the 24, so I need to finish that off.
But yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it's a Yashica Micro Elite. So, yeah, they're a nice little camera, but boy, have they went up in price.
Have they, yeah. That's the camera you mentioned you bought back in the 90s.
I still have that one. This is the second one.
That's the second one, okay.
Yeah, I thought, well, I'll see. And I thought, if this one works good, I'm going to let it go because I have my original.
Yeah.
A couple of months before last Christmas, I ran into a box full of really cheap plastic Instax cameras at a Goodwill store, and I bought them all for $20. I think there were 6 of them, maybe 8. Brought them all to our family Christmas party. Spent a lot more on batteries and film than I did on my cameras, and just handed one to everyone, and you know, just put them in a tray and said, "Grab a camera and start taking pictures." Some were mini, some were wide. I think there was no square, but they were And that was a great way to have memories from the Christmas party.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
Definitely.
I actually bought one in the thrift store for $15, and I took it home, and there was actually still partially shot film in it, so I shot it. It worked. I gave it to my grandson. Here you go. He's been playing with his mother's, so I know he's fine. He's 8, so he's got his own now.
Well, Sasha, what's your son shooting?
Nothing yet, but I already have the idea of, you know, that the little Pentax 110?
Oh, yeah.
I want to get him that as his first. Let's start him on an SLR.
He needs a little SLR,
Yeah, that's the perfect size.
But it's cute. He actually, because of daycare, they take pictures of him every day and put them online for my wife and I to get updates while all the parents.
Proof and of life.
Now, yeah, exactly. And now if you look at him and point a camera and go say cheese, he goes cheese and he smiles and he'll pose. And I'm like, that is amazing. He already poses. Yeah, half of the job is done. Now we got to get you on the other side of the camera.
I laughed. I took a holiday with my daughter and we went down to a destination wedding in Puerto Vallarta. And the grandson came along and I says, I've got a little bit of American money, but we're all inclusive here and we're staying on the resort. Let's go out to the photographer out there and get a package. So we did. We got some packages done up and he was taking pictures of Cade down there. And the little guy, I think he was 3. He knew how to pose. He knew how to smile. He knew absolutely everything when that camera pointed at him. And the guy looks at me and I says, yeah, he's had his picture taken a lot.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the thing that I consider when it comes to Phoenix. I'm like, he's so used to now we can take a picture with a phone at any time. So he's already learned, like when he watches his videos on the iPhone, when I get a notification, he knows to swipe up to take out the notification. He knows how to go to the next video. I'm like, you're 2. Like, I how are you doing this? And I think about me and I'm like, when I learned photography, I had one high school course for like a semester. And then, you know, got my first credit card, ordered something off of eBay back when, you know, you could order an empty box of something for $300 on eBay when it started. And I'm like, I had to learn all of that. And it's sort of photography, because of its accessibility, it's going to bring in, like, even children just starting now are already falling into it, so to speak.
Yeah, last fall when we were out in the combines in the field and my grandson grabs his mom's iPhone and takes a picture of the combines coming down the field. He had it perfectly composed. Everything with the horizon was straight. Everything was perfect. It was the most amazing picture. He was 7 at the time. Yeah. He picked the phone up off the dash. He knew how to open it. He knew which program to use. He knew absolutely everything.
Hmm.
You can teach that, but he has an eye. That's great. You got to be born with the eye.
Yeah.
That's true.
So hopefully he carries it on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess maybe we could take a little break here and get the rust off of ourselves and make sure we don't lose any of the show that we've already recorded due to my internet. I have the same internet I had 2 years ago, and I still remember Siri yapping on there. Saying there, no, stop. So we'll just be right back. We're going to take a little break and save the recording. Hello, everyone. We're so happy to be back. I just wanted to pop on here between segments and mention that when we were planning on bringing the show back, there were some decisions to be made. Did we want to bring ads onto the show? Did we want to monetize the show? And we all felt, no, we're just going to do this for fun. So there's no ads. We're ad-free. We're not monetizing. We're not making a penny. But how do we cover the small costs that we have running the show? Now, I try to use the most economical software pre-installed on my computer. Thank you, GarageBand. And we use the Spotify Anchor app, which is free. But we do have a domain name and a website, and that does cost a little bit of money. So it's not a big expense, but it does come out of my pocket. So I just thought I would put that out there. If you feel so inclined to donate to that, you can at Ko-Fi. We have a Ko-Fi account. So that's ko-fi.com/embracethegrainpodcast. That's ko-fi.com/embracethegrainpodcast. Now, don't feel like you have to. This is if a volunteer thing. You do it if you feel like it. I know film is super expensive. Developing's expensive. Chemistry's expensive. Cameras in general are expensive. So, yeah, it's a if you want to type of thing. And we would sure appreciate it, but you don't have to. So enjoy the show, and it is ad-free. Just for you, the listener. Thanks. And we're back. So I thought, you know, we were discussing during the break what we should talk about in the second part here. And let's get to know our new hosts a little bit. Who wants to go first?
Well, I think I've been assigned to go first.
You were all been told.
Yes, thank you. Just full disclosure, folks, I've been assigned to go first. Well, I started in film photography back when we just called it photography. And I was at a summer camp, and the options were sweat out in the sun or take pictures in the dark room. And I gravitated to the dark room and loved it. And so I stole my mother's Instamatic and my dad's Polaroid. And they decided if they were going to get their cameras back, they had to get me one. So they bought me a Minolta SRT 201 for Christmas that year. And as I say, it's there's a picture of me opening the box, and that's the last picture of me in the family albums, because I took the rest of them. And I've always been sort of doing it as a in a semi-professional way. I made a little money in college by shooting for the college newspaper, and I picked up my career. And I ended up doing television for a career. I was a news photographer, a videographer is what you would call it. We called it a photographer. So I started going into video, and photography kind of fell to the side. It became my hobby more than my job. And, you know, when you take pictures all day long, sometimes it's hard to want to do it for fun. So I kind of fell out of photography for a long time. And then one thing led to another, and I started working for a nonprofit. And that nonprofits, especially ours, is kind of small. We have a staff of 15 people, and we cover the entire state of Tennessee. So everybody does everything, and I became the photographer for the group. So I kind of got back into shooting digital photography. And I also learned that a lot of people have cameras. A lot of folks who have the disease have cameras. A lot of people, they have memories tied up in their cameras. So I use photography as a, well, before COVID, and we'll do it again after when we get it going again. We use photography for a reminiscence. I'll take a camera, take a few instant pictures, share them around with folks, and that gets folks talking about memories they have of their, you know, their family's cameras and the pictures that they had taken. So it feeds my soul in more than one way.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
If you do have older people in your life, be sure to keep taking pictures and keep sharing photos, because that's even as folks have, you know, if they lose even if they lose speech, if they, you know, have a dementia that where speech is gone, they don't, you know, they almost never lose the joy in looking in a picture of themselves.
You know, it's really important to take pictures even of ourselves. I absolutely hate being in the picture. I hate it. I really hate it.
I'm with you, Sherry.
But after losing my brother-in-law at age 55 to cancer, and losing my grandmother and my father-in-law, it's really important to have those pictures, because I can't take them now. And the lesson was learned when my brother-in-law died, and there were 7 photos of him. 4 of them were school fit pictures.
Man.
So there just aren't many.
You know, I've finally decided that refusing to be in a photo is selfish, because it's not for you. It's, you know, the photo is not for you. It's for the people who love you. It's, you know, yeah. It's no different than, you know, than refusing to, you know, give love, if you ask me. So.
Yeah.
It took me a while to get there too, Sherry.
Yeah, my daughter's guy, he absolutely hates his picture. He'll turn away and put his hand up so you can't take his picture. And finally I got a hold of him the one day and I said, these pictures are not for you. They're going in the family album and your sons will get them. Nobody else is going to see them. So now he will face me and let me take 1 or 2, and that's it. But that's better than what it was before.
I'm such a product of my age, in the sense that on paper, I'm a millennial, and in spirit, I'm like, I am in no way millennial. I'm Gen X. But at the same time, you find like hundreds of pictures of me online on my Facebook or whatever, and I always have like thumbs up and a big smile and my mouth wide open, and I'm like, where are the proper pictures of me? but it's funny, I find that because we all have cameras and everything, people are a bit more open to it. I remember before cell phones and everything, when I was walking around with an old Minolta just taking pictures, it's like you couldn't do candid. You arrived, you brought up the camera, and everybody automatically was like proper, and you're like, no, just be you.
Yeah. I tend just to walk around, and if they happen to get in the way of me clicking the picture, then too bad. I got their picture. They're all candid, unless we actually sit down and pose anything, which we don't do. But anyway, anything else you'd like to add, Larry?
No, I think that's a good start. I will reveal my life as we go on, the onion layer at a time.
There you go.
Okay. Well, guess what? It's your turn now, Sasha.
All right. Well, I alluded a bit to it before, but I had taken pictures before when I was younger, and sort of like a few projects in school when it was you needed to show work or create something, I would end up stealing my parents' camera, shooting a roll of film and putting that in my project. And then when I got to high school, I had that one class where I had to choose between a few things, and I chose photography, and we had our own dark room. This was just before digital. And I had shot, I couldn't even tell you what camera it was, probably a Pentax K1000 or something. And then, when I was 18, I got my first credit card, and I was like, I'm going to get a camera. I knew nothing. And, you know, Google wasn't a thing. So I'm just there, and I'm like, this is going to be great. Take some pictures. The first roll came back completely black. And I'm like, oh, no, did I make a mistake in buying this? And I'm like, I'm going to give it another try. I'll like fiddle with stuff on the camera. Second roll of film, completely white. And I'm like, this is actually progress. You know, like the last one was fully black. Now I got the fully white. So somewhere in the middle is what I need to do. So I tinkered and I started getting, you know, over and under exposed pictures, but they were actually pictures. And then eventually my eye got good enough that, you know, I was taking properly exposed pictures to a certain extent. But I was like, why can I never get more of a picture in focus? Like, again, did I make a mistake on buying this camera? And my brother-in-law taught me aperture because, well, I had just been playing around with the shutter speed for a few months and that's all I knew. And then started finding out about depth of field and that, yeah, if you turn one dial, turn the other one, they're going to have an impact on each other. And did that for a while until I lent my Minolta XG7 and somebody broke it. Went to I was super bummed out. My brother was like, okay, I'll give you some cash, go buy a new camera. And I got one of the Nikon SLRs, but like the autofocus ones. And I was just completely disillusioned because it didn't feel the same. Took a hiatus for a bit and then took the plunge into digital for the next like 15 years until I came back to film photography when pandemic hit and everything. And since then, I went from having like two cameras to having about 100 of them as well.
Oh no!
A future story that I'm gonna leave a little breadcrumb for people to want to find out later. I even used one of my cameras in my proposal to my wife. Find out about that later.
And she said yes.
And she said yes. I know, right?
And you have it on film?
I do have it on film. my friends filmed me doing this, and I have that memory forever.
Aww. That's great.
Who knows? Maybe when I do say the story in a future episode, I'll put the video on our board.
I know. I took my Nikon FE to a wedding shoot, and I handed the groom this camera, and I said, with strict instructions, don't play with it. There's a roll of film in it, and for Pete's sake, don't open it. I said, go ahead and pretend you're doing it, but yeah, don't advance it because there is film inside, and I don't... I'm not using it for your wedding. So yeah, he got strict instruction and do not open it.
If only I had someone who told me this some of the times where I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to load film in this camera. Oh, there was film in this camera.
Oh no.
I need a little sherry on my shoulder. That's just being like, you still got film.
You know what you need? You need a roll of blue gaffer's tape, and you just take a little piece of it, and then you take a Sharpie marker and you write on it whatever film it is, say HP5, and the date you loaded it in there, and you stick that on the back.
Yeah, I should probably get into that habit.
Just be careful where you stick it.
Yeah.
It can ruin leatherette. I've learned that.
Yes, it can. Or even painter's tape. Might be better with painter's tape. Okay, I use that too.
I need another label directly on the Canon 7 I mentioned earlier that tells me remove the lens cap.
Oh, yeah.
Going from completely being an SLR shooter and even DSLRs when I was digital to getting my first rangefinder, I was like, this is so awesome. Why are half these pictures not there?
Yeah, been there as well with rangefinders. I was pretty fortunate to have my first SLR as a Leica M3, but I really should have, I guess, been more thoughtful when I was shooting it because, yeah, my first several rolls were about a 50% success rate with taking the lens cap off.
I had a teacher who would tape a big straw, like a soda straw, to the front of the lens cap so that he thinks he can see it through the viewfinder. I don't know if it worked or not, but that's what he did.
It's an idea.
I think we all have our little quirks to make our stuff work.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I use the tape because otherwise I don't know what's in it. So, yeah.
No.
If you don't want to put it on the back where the leather it is, you could always put it on the bottom plate.
That's
what I've been doing as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
or if the camera has one of the memo holders, the you know what mm-hmm. I mean.
There's somebody
that's a good
who,
spot for it.
There's somebody who makes those that you can stick on, but I just can't remember who it is.
I used to have it on Etsy. A person that made those that you can just stick on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the camera dactyl folks?
I bet you it is.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably.
I know Matt from Revenue Labs. He also makes these little hot shoe reminders. They have like the ISO printed on them. And you just slide it under your hot shoe. So I guess you know what ISO of film you have in there. If you're not using the hot shoe, I guess.
That's practical because bad habit is I'll go out, I'll shoot a camera, put it back on the shelf, and then come back to it like 2 months later. And it's like, I have no idea what setting it's at. And yeah. I'm going to guess what's on it is correct, but did I push it, pull it, do anything to it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I've got an Iconos that's had the same roll of film in it for 18 months now. And the reason I don't finish it is because I don't remember what's in there. And I keep thinking I'm going to. So
yeah. I've got two or three that have had film in them for a while that I need to just pick them up and shoot them. Get it over with.
I had given myself an assignment, something that I'll share later, to post a photo a day. Started in January 1st of 2020, and it was going to be just for the year of 2020, you know, 2020 perfect vision. There were some folks were challenging each other to do that. And for reasons that I'll go into later, I'm still doing it. Now 4 years later. So I post a photo every single day. And when you do that, you learn that you don't have to have a take. You know, you can post things that you know that you don't think are too beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what happened to my Instagram. It used to be just really nice stuff, and now it's just like whatever I like.
Right.
Yeah, that's what's important at the end of the day. Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, look, I made pickles.
Well, when we did it on the Facebook page, I think it was it did a lot for me in the sense that you know, using my cell phone is something that to me was always this purely candid thing. And, you know, am I going to shoot digital? Am I going to shoot film? I'm always on that weird fence of trying to figure out, like, am I cheating on film if I'm shooting digital? Am I cheating on digital if I'm shooting film? But it allowed me really to go with the mood of the day. And I think that did a lot as on the group on Facebook as well of just use what you got. Like, you can still pull off something that's entertaining or at least interesting to you.
Yeah, when you know, I think that you know, Instagram is a modern photo album. I would love to have, you know, more photo albums, but I know that I'm not going to. I'm going to sit here and mean to, but that's not going to make them happen. But you know, Instagram becomes a photo album, and it sort of becomes almost a diary too. And wouldn't it have been cool if, I don't know if you guys, any of you guys did a diary. I did a diary for 1 year when it was an assignment. And I always wanted to, you know, tape a Polaroid in there. And that's pretty much what Instagram's become, my Polaroid diary.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, it's a good way to look back at what you were up to, what you were shooting, that sort of thing for sure. Yeah.
What is going to be the challenge for December, Sherry? Have you thought about that yet?
No, I have not.
there's still a little time to think about it.
Yeah, last time it was like, okay, it's like one day before it's the next month. I better think of something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I plan on upgrading our website so that we can post all that stuff up there. So, yeah.
Nice.
But I was in there. I finally got in there tonight and looked at it and thought, I'm going to have to redo the whole thing.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, to add in what's new and to update it so that it's current, yeah. It's not like there's a lot of change to make to it, but...
Yeah, it's enough work for you, I'm sure.
I'll peck away at it. It's not going to get active here until maybe next week, but...
Yeah.
That's fine.
No rush, I'm sure.
Nope. When I logged on there, apparently it hasn't been logging our Instagram for quite some time, so...
okay.
Which we've been forgetting to do, too.
Yep, I'm guilty of that.
Yeah. I think I did it this week.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I haven't done it, but I will tomorrow. Hold me to it.
Okay. I'll try and remind you.
Yeah, if you don't see it posted by noon your time.
Yeah.
Where are you, Jake?
I'm in Fredericton, New Brunswick.
All right, so just like an hour ahead of me, I think. I'm in Montreal.
Yeah, exactly. We're Atlantic time zone, just 1 hour ahead. Yeah.
It's hard. So I'm the only non-Canadian?
You are.
I guess you are, yeah. That's true.
I'll try to represent.
Guess you're going to have to.
We will convert you. We will you can be an honorary Canadian. How's that, Larry?
Thank you.
Wait, the first question, have you apologized yet this episode, Larry? Because if you have, you're in the club.
Well, it's funny. Everyone in my life says I say I'm sorry too much.
Well, there you'll fit right in.
So yeah, maybe you have a little bit of Canadian in you.
So it must be the, I must have some DNA in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Or you got to slip a little A in there.
I like Rush.
There you go. That's a start.
And I don't like Anne Murray.
You know what? Neither do I.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, I'm sure she's a wonderful lady. I just...
Yeah.
Now, that was pretty Canadian of me, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You better say you're sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I don't like her either. There. Lots of jokes aside, but yeah, I think we're gonna have a lot of fun with the show this year.
Yeah, it's great to have Larry and Sasha here to freshen things up for sure.
Yeah.
That way. Sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. It's with what Larry was saying. I was like, there's a Canadian singer who I like, who's also into photography, Brian Adams.
Yeah.
He does. He does some nice photography as well. I was trying to remember who it was.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. I have to go check that stuff out.
He's probably one of these Leica guys.
He's got the budget for it.
Or a wide lux.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it Jeff Daniels? Who's the one that uses the wide lux?
I think it's
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. There you go.
Yeah.
The Big Lebowski. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, he's done wide lux photography on all of his movies, at least going back to the 90s. Yeah, he's got quite a few books out that are pretty impressive. I've only had the chance to check out one of them, but it's really interesting work if you're into movies.
And word on the street is he's investing in a company to make a new one.
Exactly. Yeah, I saw that a few months ago. Yeah, so that's pretty cool if that actually becomes a thing.
I mean, it's pretty exciting. That's a new camera. Pentax is claiming to make new film cameras. So we actually could be one day buy a camera that's not older than me.
Exactly. I also saw that Mint, a company that makes some Polaroid cameras and some Polaroid mods, they're designing a small compact 35 millimeter camera that's based off of the Rolly 35.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah, isn't that Mint the one that uses the Instax?
They probably have some Instax stuff as well, yeah. But yeah, I think they're mainly known for their I'm blanking on the name of it, but their Polaroid cameras that have a rangefinder.
The SX70?
No, it's like a proprietary Mint camera. Oh, okay. Like yeah. It's not a Polaroid camera.
I think I've seen something on that, yeah. I'm sitting there thinking, why would I want to buy Polaroid film when I can get Instax for way cheaper?
Yeah, okay. And not to bring out my Polaroid hate too much here, but Instax is just way more consistent.
It is.
As long as Fuji keeps making it.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that's the problem, Sasha. Yeah, hopefully they keep on making it because, I mean, I'm sure they've been cutting everything else, so I'm sure it is profitable for them. Massively, but
14-year-old Japanese girls are still buying it like crazy. So
yeah,
as long
exactly.
As we can keep them happy, we'll be happy too.
No, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, guys, you think we should maybe wrap up?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Works for me.
I'm sorry if I went too long.
No, it was all of us.
Don't worry about that.
I thought I needed to have something to apologize for.
We're all at the right amount of time, so. So before we go, we should have our episode question from Sasha. Here it is.
All right, so my question for today aligns a bit with the hiatus of the podcast, and it's a bit based on one of the questions we had asked in a group, but I'm tailoring it to be a little bit more inclusive here. So have you ever left photography or switched medium of photography? And if so, what brought you back? Find our answers out on our Facebook page.
And the Facebook page is... the Embrace the Grain Photography Podcast group.
You caught me so, like, unaware. I'm like,
Oh, well, we got her in there. Okay.
I was told there wouldn't be a test today.
I know, right?
All righty, let's get our socials out because everybody wants to know exactly where they can find us. So... you can find me on the Facebook group, Embrace the Grain Photography Podcast group. You can also find me on the Frugal Film Project group. You can find me on Instagram at Sherry Christensen Photography. That's SHERRYCHRISTENSEN photography. I know it's long. Sorry, I should have thought about that before I did it. yeah. Larry?
Well, my name is Larry Effler. My Instagram handle is Larry Effler. And my Facebook page is Larry Effler. I'm just not very imaginative.
Sasha?
Yeah, so you can find me on as well the Embrace the Grain Photography Podcast page. I post there. I post on the Frugal Film Project as well. And my two personal Instagrams for my digital are Evil Kitten Productions. And for my film, it is EKP Film Photo.
And Jake.
You can find me on Instagram at Jake Rose Photo and in the Embrace the Grain Photography Facebook group.
That's great. See you all in a couple weeks. Bye.
Bye.
Whoops, we forgot to add in our email account. We do have one. It's embracethegrainphotographypodcast@gmail.com. So... until next time, shoot lots of film and embrace the grain. Ah.
the, that's all, folks.